The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. What a busy weekend. Draft, Rockets, some movie came out. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero in the snow part, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday, a lot of stuff to talk about. Did somebody hork your headphones?
What do you think the answer is?
Did you forget to put them in my office? Because nobody goes in there.
Why is it so high? Who's doing the show before me? Andre the Barry. Giant? Yeah, I put them in your office. They're gone.
Nobody goes in there.
Someone did.
That's impossible.
It's not impossible.
Well, there's an extra pair in there you can borrow.
Well, there's an extra pair right there, but you know, with me, this is more like my headphones cost like $30.
Yeah,
you know, they're not special, but they're my headphones, and it's more principle than anything.
Somebody had to have done it on purpose.
I came in here to be in a good mood today.
Yeah, we have so many children working here. It's ridiculous.
People are trying to piss me off on purpose, I think.
Probably so.
Man, who would do such a thing?
Any number of idiots that we have working here.
Oh,
we got
boy.
Children here, man. Come on.
Zhong, we got cameras in here all the time, right?
And not at Fred's office.
I can't even hear Zhong. What's he saying?
He said, not in Fred's office. Are you sure you remember to put... Because we weren't here Friday.
Right.
And I don't remember you going in there Thursday when we left.
I don't know. They were either right here, under my feet, or they're in Fred's office.
There's some over on the table
there, too. I try
to
always take them to your office, but sometimes I forget and I
yeah.
throw them right here.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would have taken him out of the office because you had him. You hide him in there. You'd have to look for him. So,
well, maybe someone was looking behind your pictures.
Why would anybody do that?
Maybe they were admiring them.
No, there's nothing.
Oh, there's some nice headphones.
There's nothing to admire in those pictures.
I'll take these.
All right, so
son of a.
Well, guess what?
Get somebody. I need an investigation underway. Somebody needs to get to the bottom of this.
Well. Now that we have a live stream, we can go back and find if somebody came in here and took them.
Yes.
So I'm gonna
tell Juggalo Trey to start going through the tape and find out who it was. I want them fired. That probably won't happen, but
well, it depends on who it is.
No, that's true. If it's some scrub, they may be on the border anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not, you know, it's not somebody sexy who brings a little money into to the table here. And we could get rid of him.
So.
What's up?
What's up with you, man?
Not much. Just ready to rock and roll.
Yeah? You feeling good?
I am.
You're looking nice.
What's going on? Nothing. We had meetings all day, and then went and hit the gym for a couple hours.
Are you feeling swole?
I feel great, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually almost didn't get to go because I was here doing some stuff, and then I want to thank Josh for taking over and doing the Kevin Johnson story for Sports Map. Because right when that broke, I was going to write it. And then I was at that point where if I didn't get away from... Because I had to work all weekend with the draft and the Rockets and everything else. So if I didn't get away for a couple hours and just beat myself silly in the gym, Evil Freddy was going to come out. I could feel him right there. And somebody was going to get their head bitten off. And I think Josh could tell him. He's like, hey, I'll write that for you. Go ahead, man. Go to the gym. So I owe him one. But had a... Great workout. Feel fantastic. Ready to rock and roll today. Was hoping for a fun show. Was hoping for you to be in a good mood.
Well,
and
started out well.
Yeah.
Started out well.
And then, yeah.
Did you hear that there is a shakeup over at the competition?
I heard that. Yeah. I was talking to
Josh Ennis got suspended again?
Apparently.
What'd he do, John? Do you know John? What he did?
Oh, you can't even hear me, so.
I can't hear you. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, I think Fred got the lowdown.
I talked to Lance a little bit about it. From what I understand, those two are going after each other, he and Adam Clanton.
Okay.
And were told to stop and didn't. So.
So wait a minute. At 790, they fire a host for bleep talking each other?
Well, I don't know the whole story, but.
I would have been fired so long ago. Can you imagine?
Well, yeah, except nobody's told you to stop. Like, if David Gow came in here and said, AJ, if you say anything else about Joel Blank, I'm going to have to fire you.
Right. Or Barry Warner. Or,
yeah. Well.
Any of these line of scrubs.
More likely.
Any of these line of scrubs that work here.
Right, right. More likely he would go and tell Joel Blank to stop saying things about you.
Yeah, of course. But, I'm a big star around here.
Yeah, you're kind of the Josh Ennis of the station. So.
Except I don't get suspended. For talking smack.
No. It did happen once, but it wasn't for that.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
5 days, it says. And apparently, there was a... didn't go as well for Adam Clanton, who's now totally fired, I guess. Which leaves... I don't know. I need someone here to tune into their afternoon show just for a second.
Yeah, don't stay long.
Yeah, don't stay.
And if you've got, you know, if you're...
But see what's going on their afternoon show. Because I know that Sean Jones guy, like, pretty much shows up to work, like, once a week. So is it just the Jason Braddock show?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there because I just found out, like, 5 minutes before our show started. And I know that there were several people here who were celebrating the fact that Clanton's out of work.
Yeah. People here?
Yeah.
Is he not a favorite around here?
He's not well liked apparently by some people around here. I don't know. When he filled in here, I always enjoyed the guy.
But, yeah.
So I can't really speak to, but I never had to work with him on a regular basis, so I can't speak to that. But I just found out. So hopefully we'll find out more because this stuff always is interesting to me. So the live stream is officially up and running now. The link is on our Facebook page, correct, John? And
yes, and also on ESPN975.com and also available for the live stream app, Apple TV, Google Play, and iOS.
I'm so mad right now that I can't hear John. I'm so mad.
And on top of that, we'll have a story up on SportsMap very shortly that will also have the link for you. So you'll be able to go to that and jump right in. But
okay.
I'm trying to load it now so I can see what's going on. But there's 33 people on the already on the live stream. And that's without it being officially available. Now it's officially available. So you can tune in. You can see us. Next time I wear a ridiculous shirt, you'll be able to see it. So now I've been thinking about this. I might find like a clothes sponsor that makes like really bad clothes, like Calvin Murphy type jackets. And get them to sponsor us, and then once a week I'll wear something you can make fun of. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
You don't even need a sponsor for that. You already have all the clothes that I'll make fun of.
Well, I know, but if I get a sponsor, at least we monetize it, see? If I'm going to get made fun of, I at least want to monetize it, all right?
Okay.
It's bad enough.
Whatever works for you, man. It's bad enough
that I get called Fat Joker, and then somebody in the gym today said with my hair slicked back, I look like Fat Armand DeSante.
I don't even know who Armand DeSante
is. Well, I had to look it up, and I'm like, well, okay, that's not a compliment.
It could have been.
I think he meant it as one, but not so much for me. But, I might as well make money off it if you're gonna beat me to death.
That's like all. Did you hear the Michelle Wolf, Sarah Huckabee Sanders thing?
I saw a lot about it. I didn't actually hear it.
She said that Sarah Huckabee Sanders looked like someone from The Handmaid's Tale or something like that. I've never seen it. I didn't get the joke.
Yeah.
But is that chick really ugly? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Those are all things that I can't get the joke if I don't get where you're coming from. So
you got to help me out here.
So like Armand DeSante, if I have to look him up. And then I realize he's been in a bunch of movies. And he was really handsome 20 years ago, but now not so much. But yeah, I'm not really offended because I don't get offended. It's just, you know.
Oh, I looked up that Aunt Lydia now.
Yeah. What do you think?
She looks like a little bit like, she's got the same angry face as Sarah Huckabee Sanders. This lady's older than her. But I'll tell you one thing. Like, if you want to feel good about how you look at your age, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is only like 34 or something like that. Like, she's still a young woman, and she is not, how do I put this in an appropriate way? She looks more mature than 34.
I see. All right, now I'm having a little issue here.
What's going on?
Well, it's a brand new phone I have. It's not charging.
Well, look, look down there. There's a charger right under your chair, like the box.
Yeah.
You could use that. Maybe it'll work.
Well, I don't know. I have it plugged into my computer, and it's not charging. Okay. And it's down to like 19%.
Maybe it's your maybe it's the cord.
Well, and that's also a brand new cord that came with the phone.
That's never good.
Yeah.
Man, those Apple cords, they never last.
Well, and now if you get a cord that's not made by Apple, they do something to your phone in the upgrade so that those things don't work.
Yeah.
Because I have three of those. And
so you
got to
pay for the expensive cord.
Yeah, and this is an Apple cord. So
it's garbage.
I'm just going to try plugging it in and see if that works. All right. Well,
are falling apart around
here. That's all right. We're going to put it all back together when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Carbach and what's going on out there. They've got the Weekday Warrior Session IPA, the Blood Orange Rattler, Tasty Wave Summer Ale, and Mango Hop Delusion. They're new beers. You can find them all over the city right now. And as the weather warms up, all of those are good for that summertime feel. Also, coming up May 20th, it's a Sunday, the second annual Love Street Music Fest. Bleachers, Cold War Kids, Everclear, the Tauntauns, the Unlikely Candidates. Your early bird tickets are officially on sale now for just $20. This year's festival will have a bigger layout, more token stations, more beer stations, and more local vendors. CarbachBrewing.com for more info and tickets. Tonight's Monday. They've got bingo in the beer garden every Monday night at 6. Grab some great food from the restaurant. You can bring your dog out and play bingo. You prepare a chance to win tickets to a local sports game, sports match. And don't forget about the restaurant. It's open 7 days a week, lunch and dinner. You get the brewery and dining experience all in one. World-class cuisine paired perfectly with one of the great Carbach brews they've got on the wall. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or tell your bartender, please make it a Carbach.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. So apparently, it's the adapter cord to my computer that's not working because there's no USB ports on the new MacBook Pros.
Right.
So I had to pay $30 for an adapter. It's been working fine for about the first year that I've had this. And now it's not working because I just put it into a regular plug.
They don't have a USB port?
No. You have to buy the little adapter.
God.
And
it's obnoxious. Like, USB port is like, that's a...
Yeah. But that's the new Mac, so you don't have them.
Like, they're getting rid of disk drives and things like that. I get it, but... A USB port, I feel like you need that.
Well, I think one of the primary reasons why is because it's easy to hack a computer through a USB.
Oh, okay.
And that's why they're moving away from it.
And I don't want to be hacked. So
yeah, you just don't let other people have my computer.
Yeah, you can take like a flash drive, take it apart, put like a couple of, AAA batteries in there, and you stick into one of the computers, and it'll just completely fry the hard drive.
Jeez.
Yeah, people do that.
Wow, that's a Zhang Li computer hacker.
Yeah.
No, not really. I just saw something.
Did you learn that in your time in Korea?
Yeah.
North Korea?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, the Koreas are about to be all together now. They're
you
all friends.
That?
No, there's got to be something.
I don't believe. Do you believe it, John?
No, it won't happen. The war is technically over, but I don't think they'll ever.
Yeah, listen, South Korea. For those of you who don't know, let me educate you guys on what's going on.
You're
going
to educate me on South Korea?
I'm going to educate you guys.
All right.
South Korea is one of our one of our greatest allies. From a military standpoint, I mean, they do not have a strong army, but they do. There's a base. There's multiple bases in Korea where U.S. troops are stationed, and
Korean women are pretty hot.
The South Korean government is very supportive of having our troops there, and in case bleep pops off in that part of the world, we have a strategic staging area there in South Korea. North Korea. They will never be our ally as long as Kim Jong-un is in power. He is a bad guy. And, you know, okay, the war's over. That's fine. That doesn't change that he's a bad guy. Like, we can't just forget all of a sudden all the bad stuff he does to his people. There's no way that we're just going to be like, okay. And, well, I mean, I say that, but crazier things are happening with this president. But I can't picture a world where, you know, we suddenly open up trade with North Korea or something. It's absurd to me. I don't see it. I don't picture it.
Honestly, man, go look at our history. We've gotten in bed with scumbags before when it benefits us. You know, if they find oil there, oh yeah, we're friends. True. We're friends. No problem.
I think we've already checked. If they had it, we would know.
Exactly. Well, they probably accidentally blew it up while they were testing nukes. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And yeah, I'm looking at the live stream. There's 59 people on there watching us on live stream right now. Set looks pretty good though. I mean, I have to say, they've done a good job with it. Props to Brandon.
Not bad.
For putting it together. And
I like it actually better without that big thing behind us.
Well, yeah, and they were trying to get a backdrop to where it didn't look ridiculous. Like they thought about putting bobbleheads up there because we used to have all these bobbleheads. Well, somebody stole them all for the most part.
No, I don't think somebody stole them. I think Todd put them in a box and told people to take them.
No,
you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Do you remember that, John, when there was a box of stuff outside Todd's office and he was like, everybody take this stuff?
No.
You don't remember that?
Oh. No. I know a bunch of people. I think it was Patrick that took some from the other studio and put them in the SB Nation studio, but not like he took like maybe 10, but we had like a lot more than that, which we can't find anymore. And I've been told to, when I pop my mic on, to pop the camera towards me, but I really don't want to.
Well, yeah, because 2 minutes from now, people will see you. That's the only negative to it. It's exactly 1 minute behind because I timed it the other day. I did the old, okay, I'm going to raise my arm at 4:23 and 28 seconds. And then I guarantee you when we get to 4:24 and 28 seconds, my arm will go up on the stream.
So are you're not, when you talk, John, you're not going to switch the camera to you?
I mean, only if I'm doing something like a prolonged period of time. I only pop on for a few seconds.
Once we get him on the Avengers.
So like when we do Hey Man Bleep That.
Yeah.
When it's your turn, you'll flip it on.
Yeah.
Okay. I already figured out my Hey Man Bleep That, but that's tomorrow, right?
Right.
Headphones?
No, I've been there and done that. But I do have something that happened to me today that I have to remember to take over to tomorrow.
Okay. 30 seconds, actually, is what it did there. My arm just went up at 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
So it's sped up.
We're tightening it
now
up.
Now that it's official. Yeah, I have two pretty good Hey Man Bleep That's from the weekend, so we'll have to... Hopefully, we won't burn them before then.
Oh, no.
Because mine is the kind of thing that could easily come out during the course of the show and then burn it, and then I have to get another one. But
I've decided.
Got 24
hours. I'm holding on to mine.
Okay. That's good to hold your own. So where do you want to start? Rockets, draft, LeBron going nuts, all kinds of great stuff from the weekend.
Yeah, any of that stuff works. I mean,
hey, I got to ask you first. Did you watch your Predators last night?
I did.
Stayed up till the end?
Yeah, my wife wasn't happy about it, but I was like, listen, I mean, they got to score eventually. Somebody's got to score.
Yeah.
So I did watch it all the way through, to her chagrin.
That is going to be a great series, man. Those two teams are really, really good.
Had Winnipeg won last night, I think it would have been over. I mean, you can't lose both your home games and expect to win the series, but good job by Nashville, even though they blew the whole thing, getting back in it. I only started watching when it was 3-3.
Ah, so you still got to see almost the whole game.
I got to see all that matters.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I wish I could just get an alert on my phone, like, because I don't want to watch a whole hockey game. I really don't.
Well, I don't want to watch a whole basketball game, but I kind of have to.
So if it comes down to it and, like, okay, the game's within one goal, you know, with 10 minutes left.
Yeah, you'll jump in.
Show me an alert. Says, hey, we got a close game here.
Yeah, you might.
I'll sit down and watch that. But I don't want to watch... You know what my biggest beef about hockey is? The intermission. It's so long.
It's 15 minutes.
It feels like forever. I just can't...
But I don't sit through those. I flip over and watch something else. Yeah. Like I'll flip over and watch a baseball game or...
The problem for me is I don't care enough about hockey to remember to flip back. I'm not like, oh my God, I can't wait for this next period to start.
Wow, 86 people now on the live stream.
Listen,
it's basically...
AJ, you've become very famous.
Yeah, we've got all the links, but it's livestream.com/GalMedia/live.
You need to use that drop every day. Every day.
AJ, you've become very famous. That's right. I have to tell you.
I have to tell you.
You don't have to tell him.
Oh, he does.
He doesn't have to tell you.
He has to tell
me. I think we all know that. But, well, we got a lot to get to. We've got Rockets to talk about. We've got the draft. We'll have Lance in. By the way, for those of you who want to see Lance on the live stream,
he'll be here.
Oh, he said he has to leave early, so we're going to call him.
Why don't he come in here now?
Yeah, I can go ask him now.
Yeah, we'll just have him now.
Yeah, we'll just do it early.
Not like we got anything going on.
No, we'll do it live.
Yeah. I'll write it. We'll do it live.
Interesting.
Good old Bill O'Reilly, your favorite guy.
He's not my favorite guy. He's in my,
he's your top five guy.
Top 400, probably.
Yeah.
Near the back end of the top 400.
Yeah, but you were like, if I was going to sexually harass a woman, I'd want to do it with Bill O'Reilly.
No, I don't sexually harass women.
But if you were going to, you'd want to do it with him.
No, I never said that. That's fake news.
John, do you remember that?
No. Vaguely.
Yeah, I do too.
I did say I admire the fact that he did a really good job of creating a nice career for himself by this persona he created, which...
That's right.
Well, I don't agree with him. I thought it was pretty brilliant, but then you mess it up by sexually harassing women. All right. We'll get to the sportsy stuff when we come back. Maybe we'll get Lance in here next segment. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And Lance Zierlein's wandered in and was just telling us something off air that I wish we could do on air.
You're saying bad words.
I can clean it up. I can basically say a player in the draft got his agent got upset that I had something in a Sports Map article that mentioned that his player could fall because some scouts said that there was some character stuff with him or they didn't trust him off the field or something like
that.
Did
he fall?
He fell into the third. Okay. His agent's like, well, I haven't heard any of this. I still expect him to go in the first, early second. Then his agent texted me during the draft and said, you were right. My apologies. And I'm like, look, I don't know what they have on him. I mean, I think he's a pretty good football player, but... It happens. It happens. Guys fall and sometime rise. You never know.
Well, let's start with the Texans and who they got out of this thing. They didn't even trade. We thought for sure they'll trade up into the second round. They decide not to. They just go with the third round. I will say, I thought getting Justin Reed where they got him.
They stole him.
I mean, that was best case scenario, and I think he was probably the best player available on the board. If somebody had taken Justin Reed in round one, I don't think I would have scratched my head.
The Steelers would have taken him in one. No one would have said a word. So him going here. Now, I talked to a couple teams that thought he was overrated. So it could be that some nationally there's some groupthink that happens, and I'm not going to sit and act like. When I put a grade on this, there's some guys who may copycat me because I'm watching tape on these guys. But what I saw, I liked. And I've watched a lot of Houston Texans, and I can tell you, he'll be the best safety that's played for the Texans other than, Glover Quinn. Justin Reed is going to be the one that we remember for years because he'll be the best. I think he'll end up being the best stashed and grown Texan safety that we've seen in this organization. He's fast. He's got good size. He's highly intelligent. They say he's a true quarterback in the backfield. His brother's Eric Reed, who's got NFL experience. He works hard, makes plays on the ball. Like, there's nothing not to like about him.
Eric Reed's a kneeler. Justin's not a kneeler, is he?
No, not that I know of. He won't be for the rookie contract, probably.
But a third-round contract? You better stand up.
That's what I'm saying. Hey.
Listen,
he knows where he's going.
Number 36. You better stand up. tell us about Martinez Rankin. I honestly didn't know a lot about him coming into the draft. What did you see on him?
So Martinez Rankin played tackle for Mississippi State. He was solid. Solid prospect. He's about a third round type player. He can play guard. I think he may move into guard or center at some point in his career. He has the flexibility to play in multiple positions. I think he'll get his first crack at playing probably right tackle, and if he can do that, then so be it. Maybe the Texans have an answer at right tackle. If he can't, he'll eventually move inside and I think be a starting guard for the Texans or maybe even a center down the road, so we'll see.
When they took him at pick 80 or whatever it was, did you think, I mean, Orlando Brown was still on the board, kind of almost surprisingly?
It could have been a possibility, but, you know, Brown is a big, heavy guy. People are concerned a little bit about his future weight. They're concerned about his, you know, obviously his athletic ability is not good. And so I thought it was a possibility, but it makes sense that he'll be a right tackle only. That's all he can do. The Texans are kind of moving towards the trend of finding guys. One of the things they liked about Justin Reed is he can play either safety position, high or low. They want guys who have multiple position versatility. Zach Fultz, guard center. Senio Calamete has played guard, but he plays guard, but he's also slid out to tackle before. That's what they're looking for. And so Orlando Brown's right tackle only. Rankins offers flexibility to play in multiple positions. And I think that's what won out. The next third round pick was, remind me who the
Jordan Akins.
Yeah, Jordan Akins. All right, I was
national
a little
champion.
Yeah, the national champs.
I thought Ian Thomas was on the board. I thought that's the guy that would, like, Ian Thomas, I thought was I the thought guy he who made was
sense.
Falling.
Yeah, I thought he made sense for the Texans there, but obviously he's a little heavy-footed. Like, he's not as quick as you want. I think he's got potential to be a good blocker. What they see in Akins, my guess, I believe they coached him at Senior Bowl.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so what they probably saw was something I saw on tape when I was watching tape during Senior Bowl. I got to go into the tape room, and he gets separation really well. Like, I think he's got a chance to be a pass catcher who can get open. The question is, you know, one team told me he was off their board for they thought he was a low character guy. They called him kind of a fraud. And I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know the guy personally. I don't know any backstory issues with him, but I know he was off of one team. There was a couple teams that weren't real crazy about him. Texans got to know him a little bit at Senior Bowl, so obviously they think they know him better, and they obviously think he'll be able to block a little bit, I think. So we'll see how that works out with him. But I didn't have as big a grade on him, even though I do see some of the athletic ability.
Yeah, and another one of those older guys. I mean, played baseball, so he's, what, 26?
Yeah, is he that old?
Yeah, I think
holy crap.
Yeah, I think he'll be 26. I could be wrong about that, but yeah.
he is.
No,
26.
He did. Yeah, I was thinking 24, but he's 26.
He played in the Rangers organization.
You better be wearing out those 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds if you're 25. Yeah, yeah. Playing. Yeah.
What about the receiver from Tech that they got in the fourth round?
Kiki Kuti, I like him. He's got great quickness out of the slot. Basically, they're saying bye bye, Braxton.
I was going to say, because to me, like, when they made that pick, I said, well, this is probably day one, their kick returner now.
Yeah.
And if he can unseat Braxton Miller or Bruce Ellington or one of those jokers, then great. But if not, then he's their kick returner.
Well,
you feel like he's a ready-to-go receiver?
I think Braxton Miller is going to have a hard – oh, yeah. No, I think he's a legit receiver. He gets open now. He's hard to guard out of the slot. He's got blazing speed down the field. To me, this is a Braxton Miller pick. You're basically saying you're on notice, Braxton. So you and, you know, in all likelihood, Braxton Miller, they're not going to have three guys to play the same position. So either right. Ellington or Miller are going to get one of those jobs, and the other one's going to be gone.
Were any of the late round guys that they took worth? Are they
noteworthy? Running by me again. I've had a million prospects in my head.
They had. Where's their Duke Ejiofor from Wake Forest?
He had tremendous value.
Okay,
he has a shoulder issue. I think he would have been a third round pick if not for the shoulder issue. They got him in the sixth. He is a physical, tough guy. When they moved him down inside to defensive tackle, people had a really hard time blocking him. It'll be interesting to see how the Texans use him, because I don't think he's a real true edge rusher, but he's got a lot of moves. His hands are really good. Like, he's kind of an advanced pass rusher. He just doesn't have great athletic ability and explosiveness.
Jordan Thomas, the tight end from Mississippi State.
Did you see any highlights of him?
I've seen him, and like the first thing I thought when I saw him is maybe they're going to try to play him at right tackle. Like, he's a good blocker.
He's a monster.
Massive. He's like 6'5", 280.
He's 6'5". He's got a big ass. He's like he's a big frame dude. Like, yeah. He doesn't look like a – it was weird. It's almost like watching Pee Wee Sports. You know, you watch old highlights. Here's Vita Vea as a running back in high school or in Pee Wee League football. and you're looking like, this doesn't look right. It's the same thing with Jordan Thomas out there at wide receiver. Now, I think he's going to need to block on a different level to play in line, which is where I think they're going to try him. But they made a comment. I love reading the pre-draft and post-draft notes because they will tell you stuff. Like if you read between the lines, sometimes you don't even have to read between the lines. And they said, we had him in for a workout. We believe he's tough enough as a blocker that he has enough want to get there as a blocker.
It's funny because I went and read all your write-ups on guys whenever they drafted him. So,
yeah. Peter and I didn't think he got after it as much as he should have. But I mentioned that I thought he'd be a tight end, I think. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that. I mean, at 270 pounds.
Yeah.
Peter Kalambayi, the linebacker from Stanford.
Talented athlete.
He came never in. Did anything at Stanford,
you know what's
though.
Funny is, well, go look at his stats. His stats will be okay. You won't see a difference from his freshman to senior year. He never got better. When he was a freshman, I was like, man, this 34 is flashing big time. He's going to be a player. He never got any better than when he was a freshman.
Well, when I saw his combine numbers, I was like, oh, that's why he got drafted.
Yeah, he's a dude.
He looks like he can do something if he can figure out how to play football.
He's twitchy. He's explosive. He just is not very instinctive. And so I think the Texans look at him and they – now, see, I also – and I think I may have wrote this up. I think he could be a better pro player than he was a college player. If you figure out how to use him and kind of fine-tune what he's asked to do and let him do it, he is clearly a 3-4 edge defender. I think worst-case scenario, he's a special teams guy for you who will be a solid backup. They could maybe try him at inside linebacker. I don't think he has the instincts to play it. I've never seen him play inside linebacker. But I think what they did is they drafted a guy who they said, okay, core special teamer. Because, you know, your special teams units are your backup players, especially linebacker, safety, wide receiver, running back. And I think he's a classic case of we need to get faster and more athletic on special teams, and we'll use him as a backup outside linebacker. And that's what I think he's there for, to be better on special teams.
And then their last pick is...
I don't know him. I didn't write
Jermaine
him.
Kelly.
Yeah, I
actually know Jermaine Kelly because 2-3 years ago, he was in the same backfield as Marcus Peters at Washington.
And, was he really?
Yeah, and he transferred to San Jose State. And I'd just kind of forgotten about him, but he played some nickel when Marcus Peters was there.
Oh, wow.
And I just know he's a big, physical, strong player.
Can run.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not. I don't think he's going to be like a great.
He wasn't even on my radar. Yeah. I didn't write him. I don't know him at all.
And he actually played pretty well. I want to say was it this year San Jose State played Texas?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a couple highlights
game
in that
three,
game.
Game 3, did he?
Yeah. So he's a. I mean.
Now, there's two guys I want to mention. Well, one for sure. There's a tackle who was undrafted named Jared Jones Smith from Pitt. He's got over 36 inch arms, so he's got really long arms. He was a pretty highly regarded prospect who his freshman year got some starts. His sophomore year, he had an injury that was so bad, he like twisted his tibia and it was putting pressure on his artery, and they almost had to just take his leg off the knee. He almost lost his leg on the field, and they were able to save it. He tore his knee up. He came back the next year, wasn't very good in 16. In 17 last year, I thought he had pretty good tape. He actually, if you get a chance, you can go to draftbreakdown.com. And if they have his game, if they have him as a prospect to watch, go watch him against North Carolina State and how he does against Kentavious Street and Bradley Chubb. He did. That's what sold me on him being a potential future starter in the league. Now, I don't know his medicals. My guess is his medicals probably aren't great and his athletic numbers aren't great and he's not going to be a very good run blocker. But he's a good pass protector. And, you know, if you can protect and, you know, if you can be a pass protector with long arms – and if you could do a job against Bradley Chubb, man, you got a chance to play in the league. And he was an undrafted free. And you know, I said Greg Mance would be a good undrafted free for him, and he has been. Kai Fairbairn, Dylan Cole was my guy last year. And this year it's this guy, Jared Jones-Smith. I think he'll be the fourth undrafted free to make. There's actually been more. Kendall Lamb did too. But yeah. I think he'll make the team. And I think he's got a chance to become an eventual starter at right tackle despite being an undrafted free agent.
Let me ask you about a couple guys who probably first-round talents, both of them, who both dropped for very different reasons. Antonio Callaway goes in the fourth round to the Browns. Is that like where people felt safe taking him?
There are people who take chances on guys who didn't feel safe taking him at all.
Oh, really?
I mean, he's had a – there was a question about a sexual assault that he got out of because he said he was too high and he
couldn't remember it?
No, and he couldn't do anything because he was so high. And it had something – everyone – like, apparently – the the evidence backed him up, and they're like, no, case dismissed. Let's see, he had multiple. He had weed tests
at the combine. He pissed hot
at
for
the
weed.
At the combine, and then he also had a credit card. He missed all this last year because there's some kind of credit card fraud where they bought
a bunch
books.
Of players did it.
A bunch of players they bought books and then returned the books for cash. So he's had a lot of issues. John Dorsey, this is the same guy who drafted DeMarcus Robinson, who had some similar issues at Florida to Antonio Callaway, drafted him and Tyreek Hill in the exact same draft. So he's not afraid to take some chances. He took Dez Harrison as an undrafted free agent, another one who had the hot whiz going on at the combine. But Antonio Callaway basically is a first to early second round talent. And once you hit day three, John Dorsey's like, all bets are off.
Take it, I'm
trying to find a big time football player.
What do you think about
that? And he's bringing him on to a team with, I just want to point out, Josh Gordon also.
Right. What do you think? Those dudes definitely won't get high together. What do you think about Maurice Hurst going in the fifth round? I think it's funny that teams will be like, we're taking this guy off the board because he's got a weird EKG. Where it's like, oh, that guy, Joe Mixon knocked out his girlfriend. We'll take him round
two. It is a strange deal. Now, if you think a player, look, this is macabre. I'll say it on the air. I asked a team. I said, what's going on with Hurst after day two? Yeah, it wasn't drafted, so it was before day three. And I just sent a text. What's going on with Hurst? Is it the medicals? And they said he could die on the field. Like, why would I want to say? Now, I don't know what they know, and maybe they were just being, you know, not facetious or glib, but maybe that was hyperbole. But their whole comment was, we just are not going to take a player that we're not sure about his overall health condition and it's safe for him to play for. So I don't know what the deal was.
This
I mean,
isn't like a new heart thing. This is something he's dealt with his whole his whole life.
Yeah,
from what
and
I
just think there's some teams who just say we just don't want that potential concern and potential issue on our team.
I think it's a great break for the Raiders.
Well, I mean, if he's healthy, the guy's a first or early second round talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one guy I knew wasn't going to go that high, but he was obviously a guy that people were keeping an eye on was Shaquem Griffin. And he actually fell a little bit further than I thought he would. But going to Seattle, where his brother's there, it just seems like a pretty perfect fit for him. What do you think? Do you think he can actually be a player in the NFL?
I think he can be. I think people have kind of overblown it a little bit because he's such a great story.
Right.
He's incredibly productive. He's a great story. You know, if you look at him as a prospect, he's not really a great body. You know, he's kind of a bad body guy from a standpoint of what teams typically look for in terms of weight displacement, how he's built. He ran a really fast 40, which is great. He's a little stiff in coverage, so he's not really a safety. You can't really play him in space as a true safety. He does have some issues tackling. I mean, he can be a little bit inconsistent as a tackler, so he's got to be very fine-tuned as a tackler. He has a hard time getting off of blocks because when he sustains, he doesn't, you know, he just doesn't have the left arm to help him to grab and shed guys. So there's some natural issues he's going to have. He's found some workarounds. I think he could be a really good special teams player. It's just hard to bet against him because he's overcome so much in his life, and for the fact that guy with no hand to be drafted ever is just – it's really staggering if you think about it. And if you backtrack even more, he ran a 4.38. You backtrack even more, he was defensive player of the year in his conference.
Yeah.
So it's probably not smart to bet against him, but I thought fifth was a good round for him. I thought the Seahawks were a lock to draft him because a lot of teams – you know, the national narrative was, could he go in the first? He won't go any later than the third. And I was just thinking – teams are really worried about his deficiency, which is the lack of hand. If he can consistently perform, I felt like
Fuller has no hands and he's still in the league.
I know. once he got past the fourth round, I thought this is probably going to be a Seattle pick in the fifth because his brother's there. And but he is a great story, and there's a lot of people who are inspired by him. And he's one of the rare guys that there's a prospect conversation. And there's a person conversation, and they can be had mutually exclusively. Like you can love the person and the talent, but then there's a real conversation happening in NFL rooms about what can he do and what can't he do, and that's why he went in the fifth.
We did, I guess, for Sports Map. I wrote a story before the draft about three players I liked and three players I didn't like relative to what the buzz was on them, and the Falcons took two of the three players I liked in the first and second round. They took Calvin Ridley in the first, and then they took Isaiah Oliver, who I thought was going to go to either Atlanta or Seattle in the first round. They got him in the second round. Who do you think are the teams that had the best first couple days? Like,
who? I thought the Colts killed it in rounds 1 through 3. I thought Tampa Bay killed it in rounds 1 through 3. I've been working on this right now. I thought the Patriots did a really good job with getting Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, and Duke Dawson as their first three picks. I think Buffalo, you know, it will all depend on how Allen does, but getting Tremaine Edmonds with the 15th pick is a joke. I mean, this guy's going to be
he's very good, a
crusher. And he lasted all the way to the midpoint of the first round, which I thought was ridiculous. You know, I actually think the Tennessee Titans did a pretty good job of getting – they moved up twice, once to get – they found guys they coveted in Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry for big needs, linebacker and defensive end, and they moved up both times and got their players. Now, they didn't draft again until the fifth round, where they got Dane Cruikshank, who is a guy who will, you know, most likely just be a special teams ace, but a potential Pro Bowl special teams player, and then maybe a backup safety as well. And then I can't remember. I thought Ozzie Newsome did a pretty good job with the Ravens.
Everybody on NFL Network was calling him Ozzie Smith.
Were they really?
Yeah, I think it was like 3 times he got called Ozzie Smith.
I know. So it was so Hayden Hurst, and then bumping back in for Lamar Jackson, which is, you know, is it going to be a home run or a feeble ground out, one or the other? And then, but I thought he maneuvered around. I actually thought the Green Bay Packers did a pretty good job, too.
I think the trade that they made.
So smart.
I mean,
look at it, it was a very smart move. They moved back and picked up an extra first, and they knew the entire time they'd already done their homework. People don't realize this. They had probably already called John Schneider, who it was rumored he wanted out of number 18 in the worst way. And so they knew when they moved back, they would have enough draft capital to move back up and still get their player, Jair Alexander, and that's exactly what happened. They played the draft perfectly and got an extra first. Extra and it cost first, them a third and a fifth to move back up.
I thought it was brilliant of them. And on the other side of that coin, I think the Saints – Davenport might be a good player, but I think using more than one first-round pick on someone who's not a quarterback
is crazy.
Had
the worst draft. I thought the Saints had one of the best drafts last year and one of the worst drafts this year.
What did you think of what Seattle did? Because when they said Rashad Penny, and they traded back, so if that's the guy they wanted, at least they traded back to get him. But
yeah.
I mean, that's the second running back off the board.
But a lot of teams had him a second. Everyone thinks Darius Geis was, but then when I talk to teams, I got a tweet from April 14th I put out there, like, the more I talk to teams, the more I began to realize they got a Penny number 2, and then they got it Chubb 3 and Michelle 4, yeah, or Michelle 3 and Chubb 4, and pretty much most people had Geis 4 or 5.
Because I get he's like, all reports, at least from NFL Network, was Geis a knucklehead. Like, he's got
Geis?
Yeah, he's got problems off the field that weren't really reported.
There's just concerns about his maturity.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's a bad guy. There's some questions about maturity. I know he's got his family or friends and stuff. There's a concern about who he hangs around with, although he's distanced himself. I mean, he lives with a different family. He's got a different, like, a white mom and dad who kind of adopted him and have helped.
I saw that movie.
To bring him. No, it was not,
not him?
Not The Blind Side. That was okay. Michael Orr. And basically, he has tried to – his family tried to get him out of harm's way, which – is great. There's just always a concern, like, okay, now that you're in the league, are you going to be able to stay out of harm's way still and not go back to, you know, you have people from Baton Rouge who are, you know, clamoring on and clinging on. Is he mature enough to deal with that? There's some stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. I thought he's a talented running back. That's all I know. He was number 2 on my board.
Michael Orr's white brother blocked me on Twitter for criticizing Michael Orr.
Did he really?
Yeah, he got on my ass about something, and I tweeted back, and he just blocked me.
Hey, Lance, before we let you go.
That's hilarious.
The Texans basically cleaned out their scouting department.
Well, 3 of them.
Jimmy Ray, who was a guy who was a candidate for the job. I mean, 3 pretty big names there in terms of, is this basically just Gaines going to bring in his own guys and was waiting until after the draft?
Yeah, Rick guys are gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's
not unusual. That's not unusual. He'll have 2 or 3 guys that he wants to bring in. So that's actually not that unusual for a new GM to get rid of some scouts.
Were there any surprises to you as far as how the quarterbacks fell in this draft?
No, I'd heard that Baker was – I put that out there Monday. Yeah. That Baker was going to go 1, and then I became pretty sure of it.
Did the guy who DM'd you ever apologize?
Yeah, he said, I'll let you read it. Clearly I got some bad information from a guy who I thought was my friend. And I'm like, I didn't answer him. I'm like, shut up.
So this that was guy, pretty awesome. Go on Lance's timeline. Yeah. You'll see a guy who DM'd him about how stupid he was for saying they were taking Baker Mayfield.
I know for a fact, and he just told me the real inside scoop. And like, it's after day one when Baker got picked is when I finally saw it, and I'm like, oh, this is too good to be true. But, so I wasn't sure if Darnold was going to go three because the Jets hadn't even really talked about Darnold. They never considered Darnold, and the Jets didn't even think.
Because the Jets always thought Baker Mayfield was going to be
there. The Jets never believed that Baker was going to be the first pick. They never
thought
it was.
That's who they wanted, though, right?
Supposedly Baker and Josh, but once Darnold was there, they said this is too good to pass up, and they took Darnold because I guess he was number one on their board. I just don't know if they had a contingency plan where he was even
– Where he was available.
Where he was even available. Josh Allen going three wasn't a huge surprise. Lamar in the first. Josh Rosen sliding wasn't a huge surprise. I mean,
good spot for him, by the way.
I think so, but Larry Fitzgerald's about to be gone, and they've kind of cleared out all their wide receivers. But adding Christian Kirk was a really smart move in the second round. That's the kind of guy, a pro's pro, who they – do you know they have a background? They played high school like 7-on-7 together or something like that. There's a picture of them playing youth football together in like high school 7-on-7 or something like that. So, yeah, they're friends.
When the Browns took Denzel Ward with the fourth pick, was it as head-scratching for you as it was for everybody else?
Yeah.
Is it just because Chubb was still there? Or, I mean, is it really a massive reach for them to take that guy
forward? It's just because he's 5'10". Like, he's a small corner, and you look at their corners, and their corners are all small. So I just thought, man, I understand that he can go cover Antonio Brown or Julian Edelman in the slot, you know, outside or inside. And Cleveland's thought was he's clearly the number one cornerback, and the drop after that is substantial. We really need a cornerback. So on their board, they just said we had to do it. I just look at it like this. You don't need great corners when you got a hellish pass rush. If you had Bradley Chubb with Ogba and Myles Garrett, I mean, you can just severely threaten people like Seattle used to, where you don't have to cover very long.
I still think if you just keep Joe Hayden, you got the same guy who's already more established rather than cutting him last year.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with you.
We probably need to get moving
here. We're going to get him out of here.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. Yeah. All right. Fine. Thanks, Lance.
Appreciate it, Lance.
I'll tell you about Bill Advisor. Lance, he's walking out here with $2,000 in his pocket that he wouldn't have had otherwise because BillAdvisor.com, that's how much they saved him. I mean, that's a legitimate deal. And they could save you that money, too. We've been talking about them for a while. If you've got a cell phone, you pay for TV, internet, electricity, or insurance, you're probably paying too much. You started with those services, you had a great price, but your bill goes up, and you need to get help with BillAdvisor.com. They work directly with the providers. They reduce your monthly rates. You don't have to give up any services or data or speed or any of that stuff. You just lower your bill. Bill Advisor is winning for hundreds of our listeners. Most are saving over $800 a year. Many are saving thousands, like my boy Lance. And they've been running the $150 challenge that guarantees $150 in savings or your money back. They are now so confident, cocky even, you might say, that they've doubled the guarantee from $150 to, Jung, what's $150 times double?
$300.
That's right. If they don't save you at least $300, you get every penny back. That's real money, guys. There's still no setup fee. The service is still just $12.99 a month, whether you save $400 or $4,000. Start saving now. Text the word GO to 232323, and your personal Bill Advisor is going to get your information and start working for you. One more time, text GO to 232323 or go to BillAdvisor.com and click Start Saving. Broken like me.